I'm Hamza Aziz, the producer of the Talking With Dogs podcast. You might know Talking With Dogs from their popular YouTube channel. Kidney disease is silent but deadly. Here's how to protect yourself.
How to prevent kidney disease. How to make sure you're not going to develop kidney disease. That's what we're going to talk about today. I'm Dr. Paul Zalzal.
I'm Dr. Brad Wing. Welcome to Talking With Docs. What we're going to talk about is how to prevent it, but also how do you even know if you have kidney disease and what should you do about it if you're suspicious? We have a special guest today, Dr. Sanjay Pandey, a nephrologist. Thanks for joining us.
A pleasure.
So you're in the business of taking care of our kidneys.
That's right.
Well, tell us, how do I know? How do I know something's wrong with my kidneys?
Well, it's a very interesting question because most patients who have kidney disease don't know they have it. So when you have kidney disease, there are little or no symptoms that any patient would have.
That is ominous.
Yeah. And so it's really important that you have your regular checkups with your family doctor and have routine blood work. And that routine blood work screens both your blood and your urine to assess whether or not you have kidney impairment or any of the urinary abnormalities, which might have a look into the window of the kidney to see, is there disease in these filtering units? So when you go to your family doctor, he'll check something called your creatinine, your serum creatinine. Creatinine comes from the normal metabolism of your muscles. It gets deposited into your bloodstream and it gets filtered out through your kidney. Now, when any filtering unit doesn't work, like any plumbing system in your house, things that otherwise would get filtered build up in the system. So the blood test, if you have a higher creatinine than you ought to, it represents lower kidney filtering function.
Okay, so one thing's going to measure in your blood is your creatinine. We're going to check if your creatinine is very
high. Not your creatine, not to be confused with some of the other videos we do this supplement, because I suspect you get that question. All the time. What? I'm taking creatine. You're telling me it's elevated? Oh, that's no good. Okay, so your creatinine.
Sure, correct. That's elevated, might be a problem.
And then what happens is that the creatinine, and nowadays we everybody likes numbers, right? So the creatinine goes into a calculator that the lab puts through, the calculator that takes your creatinine along with your age and your gender, and it produces this number called your GFR, called your glomerular filtration rate. I think for the purposes of understanding, it's really your kidney filtration rate. And so it's important for people to know what their GFR is, because that's a key component of assessing your kidney health.
Paul, do you know your GFR?
Yeah.
You do not?
Yeah.
You're lying. I can't share it for privacy purposes, but I do keep it in my wallet.
So you think generally speaking, a GFR is a better number or a more reliable number than the creatinine?
What people understand GFR is, as nephrologists, we generally will refer to that as the percent kidney function.
Right.
And your normal percent kidney function in the population, because everybody's not the same, is usually between 70 and 100.
Right.
But as I said, there's an age-related decline in kidney function as well. But knowing your GFR is important. The other number that's important relates to your urine. So we're seeing now more and more over time, particularly the last couple of decades, how important it is to know whether or not you have protein in the urine. And we used to measure that by a 24-hour urine collection, which is not really all that, appealing to people to take a jug and collect their urine for 24 hours. But now on a spot urine, you can have a value called the urine albumin creatinine ratio, which we call the urine ACR. And that essentially is a measurement of how much protein you excrete.
Right.
Why is that important? Well, that's important because no matter where you are on the spectrum of kidney disease, starting really up high or down the middle or down low, the more protein you spill in your urine, the more risk factor you have for progressing in your kidney disease. In addition to that, and this is vital, it actually increases your cardiovascular risk. So your kidneys are really vascular structure.
Yes.
They get 20% of your heart's blood supply. So every pump, 20% of that flow goes through these 10 to 12 centimeter kidneys.
They are.
But they are selfless at times as well, but they filter like 200 liters a day.
Okay.
And so it's important to know that they're full, chock full of blood vessels. So anything that impacts the kidneys relates to impacting your whole cardiovascular health.
Okay. So they are a good measure of cardiovascular health because they are so vascular themselves and they rely so much on their vasculature to do their function. And you mentioned proteins in the urine. The idea is that when you're filtering, proteins are one of those things you're trying to keep in your body, and the waste and other things are the things you're trying to excrete. So when you see protein in the urine, it's like, wait a minute, this thing's not filtering properly because we're losing protein.
Okay, so say I haven't got the blood test at my family doctor's, but What if I'm sitting home and now I'm watching this video and I say, I haven't been to the doctor in a while. Is there anything that I'm going to experience, like living my daily life, that's going to make me think, well, maybe I have kidney disease. Are there any signs or symptoms that they're going to see before the blood work that will give us an indication that, hey, maybe your kidney function is deteriorating?
Those would be like later onset disease.
Yeah, generally. So yeah, we all know these patients who, you know, usually guys have been to a doctor for 10, 15 years because they feel well, right? And they haven't had any blood work.
Right.
You know, when I see blood work, I usually like to say, okay, what was their historical blood work? And I get patients who are referred to with the not having blood work for over a decade. And so the signs that they may have, it, they may say, okay, well, I better go see a doctor. Some early signs might be fatigue. Okay. Fatigue is so common, it's hard to relate to anything. You might get swelling, particularly swelling in your ankles, because you're retaining salt that your kidney should otherwise get rid of.
Right.
That could, if it becomes more dramatic, you can get shortness of breath if that salt and water builds up on your lungs.
Okay.
You can get some sort of symptoms related to your GI tract. Okay. So things like lack of appetite, nausea, vomiting if it's extreme. Itchy skin is another one if the toxins build up.
So a lot of you like really vague stuff.
Yeah. And later stage. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
one last question. Would you have any symptoms in your urine? Like when people say, you know what, I'm either peeing more or I'm peeing less, is that an indicator of kidney disease?
So I would tell you one might relate to a common cause that I'll see of kidney impairment, which would be blockage of the urinary tract. And in guys, the most common one would be the prostate.
Yeah.
And so if you're peeing a lot, particularly getting up a lot at nighttime, it may not just be a normal sort of enlarged prostate, but it could mean that you actually have it enlarged enough that it's causing a blockage, causing back pressure on your kidneys.
Okay.
Otherwise, you know, as you have diseased kidneys, you can actually have an impairment in concentrating your urine.
Okay.
Which means you'll have to go more frequently anyway. This is without any anatomical issues.
Okay.
But most of the time,
people
are peeing normally.
Okay.
Asymptomatic.
Yes.
Okay. So you've told us sort of how to know if we have something wrong with our kidneys, but here is the $1 million question. Well, I guess it used to be the $1 million question. That's probably the $1 billion question. How do I prevent kidney disease? How do I stop myself from getting kidney disease?
Yes, I think it's a really good question. And I think some of that relates to what some of the more main causes of kidney disease are, right? So the biggest cause of kidney disease is diabetes, right? So the largest cause about half of our end stage kidney disease population are patients on dialysis, patients seeing transplantation.
Yeah.
Mostly type 2 diabetes just because it's more prevalent. And then other causes like high blood pressure, vascular disease of the kidneys, whether big arteries or small.
Right.
There could be inflammatory conditions in the kidney, what we call glomerulonephritis, big long word, but inflammatory conditions in the kidneys, the list is as long as my arm. Recurrent infections in the kidney, obstruction of the kidney.
Right.
Or we could have some genetic diseases of the kidney. Most common one would be polycystic kidney disease. So when you look at all of that and say, well, how do I prevent either getting kidney disease or having it progress, it's controlling a lot of that, right? And controlling vascular health, right?
Okay.
So eating a heart healthy diet, including minimizing your salt intake, okay?
Let's stop there for 2 seconds, because I guarantee there's going to be 1,000 comments saying, taking in salt, that doesn't even matter. We get this all the time. We had it with Dr. Heffernan when we did the cardiology stuff, saying salt directly relates to your blood. People are like, oh, salt doesn't matter. That's a myth. So you would say, as a nephrologist, someone who makes their living saving people's kidneys, salt definitely matters.
I would say salt definitely matters. But if you see debates amongst my colleagues about how effective that is in populations, or if they will make an argument that it might not matter. But I would probably argue that everybody's not the same in any population.
Indeed.
And there are people who are really quite salt sensitive.
Yeah.
It also depends on what kind of disease states you have. Sure. So if you're in the heart failure world, you want to minimize salt because that salt is going to have you retain fluid. Most people think that swelling is water.
Yes.
But swelling is not just water. It's salt and water. So if you take in more salt and retain more salt, you'll retain water with it.
Right.
So that's a part.
Okay.
So yeah, controversy.
For sure.
So, but the other things you could do is obviously avoid smoking.
Okay.
Limit alcohol intake, exercise regularly, control your weight. Common themes with what my cardiology colleagues would say.
Just about every
all disease.
Avoid anti-inflammatory agents, big one, if you can. So things like you guys prescribe, right? Every time you're going to do this all day,
worry about this nonstop.
Ibuprofen, Celebrex, any of these things that if chronic use of these agents can cause chronic kidney disease and can cause worsening if you have it. Can put your blood pressure up, which secondarily can affect your kidney disease and can cause different biochemical abnormalities as well. So you can go and grab these pills off the counter, but people don't know that they can be harmful. So usually we say, if you have pain or fever in my patient's world, take Tylenol preferentially and minimize those if you have to take them. So those are obviously big one, lifestyle ones that you can have. And the other is like, to see your doctor, get an assessment, know your kidney health, both your GFR and your ACR, and take the medications that your doctors prescribe. Because they're going to want to control your diabetes along with your lifestyle, the medications control your diabetes, control your high blood pressure, control your cholesterol. So these are all things we're finding where the heart and the kidney are intricately linked. And one therapy that helps one organ system is not a silo. It helps both organ systems.
So kidney disease then is a strong predictor of cardiovascular health, you're saying.
Exactly.
If you have something wrong with your kidneys, odds are you're going to have something wrong with your heart and your cardiovascular system.
Yeah. So if I put it to you this way, if we can show a heat map to the audience, if you look at a chart that has GFR that goes down along this side and it goes and protein in your urine that goes up along this side, as we've mentioned, higher protein means a higher risk factor for progression of kidney disease. So you'll see this heat map go from green up at the top left, which is like brilliant, fantastic, to deep red down at the bottom on the right, indicating that your risk of kidney complications increases dramatically. When you could take that same heat map for GFR and protein and apply any cardiovascular complication, that could be coronary artery disease or things that cause heart attack. It could be heart failure. Yeah. It could be hospitalizations related to those. It could be mortality related to those. So that's how linked they are.
So really, when we're talking about preventing kidney disease, we're talking about preventing overall cardiovascular health as well. And that's how come the exercise, the no smoking, the decrease your appetite, to eat well, things echo in all the videos we make. And that's how you prevent kidney disease as well.
So question. So love that. And I think it's important. We talk about this all the time. Lifestyle modifications. This is the way to deal with chronic disease rather than reacting all the time. But say you made some bad health choices over the course of your life, and now you go to your doctor, you have some early signs of kidney failure, not to the point where it's affecting your urine or your blood pressure up a bit, you're going to take the medications, but are there any, do those things work to halt the progression, or is there any possibility of reversing kidney disease? Do you ever see patients that have elevated GFRs and protein in their urine, and then they do radical change, they lose the weight, they exercise, they change their diet, do they come back and get normal kidney function, or do they simply, are we trying to halt the progression of the loss?
Yeah, so great question. So this one's a depends question, right? Okay. So there are some things that are reversible, right? So if we go just to, let's say, an obstructed kidney, largely reversible, but if the longer that obstruction would be there, the more chronic, then your more chronic disease you might have.
Damage is done.
Right. When you have things that affect the kidneys by, let's say medications, these anti-inflammatory agents that we talked about, some of the effect that they have is reversible.
Okay.
And some of it may be chronic, and it depends on some people who use these things daily for 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
They have a chronic component, but if they pull back off of them, you'll see some reversibility from that.
Okay.
Then the rest of it is us trying to say, okay, how do we prevent progression? And does it work? Yeah, they work.
Okay.
They work. We've seen multiple therapies that have been developed, particularly in the last 5-7 years. We had a dearth, like a lack of medical science that showed advancements in preventing progression for about 15 years or so.
Okay.
And so now we've seen a whole slew of classes of medications, not just alone, but in combination, that will help prevent progression in kidney disease, and at the same time prevent cardiovascular complications. Because a big thing for us is that one of the things for us is that we focus on cardiovascular health, because if you get end stage kidney disease, we can do things like dialysis, right?
Right.
We can do things which can be heat in the hospital or at home.
Yeah.
We can do things like transplantation, but the cardiovascular risk still stays there.
Yeah.
Right. So we focus on this because our patients, no matter where they are in the spectrum, have a higher risk of dying of cardiovascular complications than from their kidneys.
Okay. So the kidney disease is more treatable than the cardiovascular disease in terms of long-term solutions.
Well, having a stopgap at the end where we would dialyze people, right? If you have end-stage heart disease,
you know, you've heart dialysis.
There's no heart dialysis yet, actually.
Okay, so that's a lot about how you know something is wrong with your kidneys and how to prevent getting kidney disease. But what if, like, oh, my mom or my dad had kidney disease, you know, does that mean for sure I'm going to get it? Is there a big genetic component to kidney disease?
Yeah, so the main genetic cause of chronic kidney disease and end-stage kidney disease is polycystic kidney disease, right? So that one you tend to know because, and you could screen for by various techniques, because you would have a family history of polycystic kidney disease. You'd have somebody who ended up on dialysis. And as a result of that, you can get screened because you at different ages, depending on whether you use ultrasound or CAT scan to see whether or not you have cysts in your kidneys. Okay. However, the world of genetics and genetic testing is now getting like exploding, right?
Yeah.
So there are genetic tests for polycystic kidney disease. And the world of kidney disease in general for familial kidney disease is expanding in terms of looking at why somebody might have a predisposition, right? So the number of genetic tests out there for different types of kidney disease is growing and growing. They're not widely used, okay, because the trying to find the linkages to particular diseases. So usually we'll find the disease, right, and they'll say, do you have the genetic risk factors for that disease, which you may or you may not. Just like any disease, there's a nature versus nurture, right?
Yeah, right.
It's what are you coming with what your parents gave you and what environmental stuff that we've talked about before.
Okay, so there is a component. Certain types of kidney disease are genetic in nature. However, it doesn't necessarily guarantee you're going to have kidney disease if your parents had kidney disease.
Right, and the other important part is that the genetic predisposition could be because of the things that cause kidney disease, right? Like your genetic predisposition to diabetes, to high blood pressure, to vascular disease. So your genetic predisposition doesn't just come from your kidney silo genetics, right?
Got it.
It's all the other risk factors and diseases that cause kidney disease.
Okay. That's a nice summary. I think the take-home message is, A, be aware that you got to take care of your kidneys. B, there are a lot of things that you can do to help prevent it. And even if you've already got it, there's things that you can do to help change it. And then C, that there is an answer. Even if you end up at the end of kidney disease, thankfully, we have things like dialysis and so many different versions of it where 50 years ago, there was no answer for these people. And unfortunately, they passed away. So be responsible for your own kidneys. If you have an experience with this or with dialysis or kidney failure, please leave a comment. Share your experience with other viewers to benefit from it. And if you like this video, please like it. Subscribe to our channel.
And remember, you are in charge of your own health.
And thanks, Dr. Pandeo, for joining us. That was awesome.
Thanks.